Such great, joyful memories. Or how about when you go backpacking or you're camping like this and you see the sunrise? Or when you hold your baby for the first time and you think your heart's going to burst with joy. And then they cry. No, I'm kidding. Or living your passion when you get to do in your calling, in your career, in your family, you get to do what God tailored you to do. That sweet spot in Jesus. There's nothing like it. Or how about that first love? I remember mine. There's a little joy there. Yeah. My greatest joy, speaking of first love, though, is when I met Jesus, because I didn't grow up in a Christian family. And I was looking my whole life, it felt like, all through my childhood, all through my teenhood, for that kind of love that you don't have to perform for. Like you're loved even if you get an F rather than an A. That kind of love, and it wasn't in my family. And I was looking, and finally, at 21, Jesus sought me out and showed me that he was exactly what I was looking for, and 10 times more. Changed me forever. Absolutely changed me forever. How about the joy after the joy of having the baby, that you have the joy of raising your children? Now, that's a mixed bag, I know, because it brings out the worst and the best in you. But there are those moments where you're just like, dang, there's just nothing like watching this human being grow up and then become your friend, this adult that you exchange and communicate with. That's just beyond my comprehension. God had a really cool plan. I just think there are so many joys that we need to have our eyes wide open and not miss. How about the joy of discovering your spiritual gifts and then really using them? That's why we're here. That's another really sweet spot in Jesus. We don't want to let that go by us. One that really surprised me, a really unexpected joy, was the joy of women. I used to not like them very much. And then God was really funny and said, Sharon, why don't you work in women's ministry? I would rather slop pigs, was what I told him at the time. But now I absolutely love them. And that is because they have loved me. There is something so powerful in a sisterhood where Christ is the very core, the very center of those relationships. They laugh with you. They cry with you. They mourn with you. They exhort you. They hold your hand. They are there. They're solid because they are trusting in God and you are trusting in God. And there's a unity, a oneness that can't be found outside of Jesus. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I'm so glad that I didn't stay bullheaded and miss that. My latest just unexpected joy is kayaking. That joy of being out on the lake and having that time with my Lord. Oh, man, it's beautiful. How about a hard cry? There's a certain joyful release in a good, hard, you know, just ugly face kind of cry. Where you just, you know, that snot face. Cry, where you're not holding back. That is a really good kind of release joy. And then on the other side, there's that giddy joy of laughing so hard where you just want to pee your pants and your sides hurt. That's why we all have really good ab muscles. And then my all-time favorite is that time with God. That peaceful joy that just sinks in. Like you can run into him, okay, I'm going to spend time with you. And then you're thinking about everything else. Wait, I'm spending time with you. Oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, when you're really working to listen, he just arrives. Yeah. And it's that overwhelming peace. Like you can't experience it without him. It is what we live for. So, I could go on all day about spontaneous joys of life, but I want to get to the ugly stuff. So, with the joys of life, I want you to take that sheet of paper and start thinking about those unexpected, spontaneous joys in your life, and I want you to re-enjoy them, because that is a way to worship your God, is re-enjoy those spontaneous joys throughout this weekend. Adam, one of mine is, there's dark chocolate on the back table. I'm writing it down. I just laughed so hard with my roommate, I did almost pee my pants. Those kind of things, you want to write those down and really thank God for those. So please do that. And then whisper thanks to your Father for those. I want to move on to the mundane, because there is a lot of life, honestly, spent in the in-between stuff, the mundane in our lives. And that's the kind of mundane is the stuff that just sucks the life out of you. It is. And we do have days like that. You wake up and it's work, 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 or meeting, meeting, meeting. Those kind of things, they can absolutely cause us to lose the fire and the hope and the zeal in our lives. For me, a simple one is the task of dusting. My mom, growing up, used to make us dust these shelves that were from floor to ceiling, little shelves with books and knickknacks and all that, and we had to move everything and dust every shelf once a week. Who does that? So I don't. I've made friends with all the dust bunnies in my house. Come! Let's party! I don't dust unless... Oh, you're coming over? How about those endless errands? We're driving here and there and everywhere. My car is now my prayer closet because of that. How about the doctor's visits? These kill me. This just kills me. You go to the doctor and you pay your big copay for them to tell you what you already knew. So I always want to ask, can I have half that copay? Because I already knew. Ugh. And then when you get on the phone, you have like a 20-minute window, and you have to call, and you get on, and the recording says over and over, you are important to us. Yeah, I'm feeling really important to you right now. Then there's the lines that we hurry to go and wait in. And that includes the express lines. I was in the express line at Target not so long ago, and you know, you kind of scope it out. As you're going up to the lines, okay, who has a lot, who doesn't? Is the express line open? Awesome. So I got an express line, and the woman in front of me only had one little baby gift. I'm like, yes, we'll be in, we'll be out. 15 minutes later, I kid you not, I'm standing behind that woman going, Jesus saves me now. She, unfortunately, the cashier asked her, would you like a Target card? And she goes, well, let's talk about that. And she literally did. Every pro and con to a Target card. And then she chose not to have it. I'm like, then she gets checked out. I'm thinking, cool, okay. And she goes, oh, sorry, I needed a gift receipt. So then she has to print that out. Then she's starting to walk away. I'm like, yes. And her son and her husband walk up with two more things to buy. I'm going to shoot myself. 15 minutes later, and I walked up to the girl, and I could tell the cashier was a little uptight. She knew it was taking a long time. I just smiled. Inside, explosions are going off in my head, but the Lord was taming that. And I was so glad, because his patience showed instead of that, and she went, oh, thank you. I'm a brand new cashier. I was like, oh, hurry. No. I'm just kidding. So, what I would like you to do is to write down those things that make you insane, that make you want to just explode. Because you want to ask God into them. And you want to say, okay, give me eyes wide open. What are you doing in me in this? For me, it was patience in the Target line. And it was being Jesus's heart to her when I got up to the counter, rather than, really, I've been here for 15 minutes. What is he doing in those mundane moments? He's busy. It looks boring, but he's busy. He's doing something glorious. Because in 2 Corinthians 16 and 18, it says, therefore we do not lose heart or explode. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. We are being renewed day by day, even in the mundane. I'm so glad that we have God in our lives to do that. Because he says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal, forever. So he can renew us in that. So remember to write down those things in the mundane. I had a neat moment the other day. It was a mundane moment, and I was running, and I'd been running the same 3 miles for a while, and I wanted to go to 4, but it wasn't happening. It was not a good run day. I was kind of complaining, like running along with my little dog that tells you how fast I run. He's a dachshund. And he tends to cross. It's hilarious. He'll look back. We doing good, master? And then he kind of trips me. I'm like, dude. But we're running along and I'm getting grumpy. And then this man at the crossing, this man in his wheelchair with his dog, little dachshund, comes rolling in front of me. Good morning, isn't it? Oh, man. The Lord so spoke to my heart. You run because you can. Worship me in it. I was like, okay. Okay, I stand corrected, God. It was a moment, let me tell you. It was a good one. I began to pray that I would have Lazarus moments in the mundane. Because we don't talk about Lazarus's point of view. We talk about Mary and Martha and how upset they were and mourning and wailing because Lazarus is in the tomb and Jesus didn't come in time, right? But what about Lazarus's experience? That poor guy. He died. Then he was embalmed. And then they put him in the dusty old tomb. And then he had to lay there for a while. What about his experience? And then Jesus calls, come out. And he's got to walk out in the rags. And Martha's saying, oh Lord, he stinketh. That is the most amazing scripture to me. I just think about that on my mundane days. Wow, what a kicker for Lazarus. He probably never looked at life the same again. That's amazing. So I pray, Lord, give me Lazarus eyes so I can see that whole new look at life. Like I had to go through all that and go, wow, no, I love this life. So pray for Lazarus eyes. Okay, we're going to move on to the biggies, which is the blind sides. And the blind sides come to mind right away when we say the unexpected. Those are the situations, the events, the tough stuff. The unexpected things that we would never say we wanted. The unwanted, unexpected. And we all have them. My first memory of unwanted, unexpected was when I jumped off. I was a little girl, and I jumped off the top of my swing set. Don't ask me why I did that. And there was pea gravel all around the bottom of the swing set, and I just like... And when I hit the ground, I did not land on my feet. I was a bloody mess. And the next day, I had to go to Girl Scouts, and I remember I had bandages all over my knees and my elbows. And we were supposed to do this activity where we had to climb over these boxes. I'll never forget it. It was horrible. But the big part of that was that I learned about fear and doubt. Like, ooh, that's pretty high. All I could think of was those bloody knees and elbows. So I learned in that experience. It was a blind side for me because never before had I feared heights or felt such pain. It's a blind side. Just a little thing, but ended up a blindside for me. The other one when I was little, and this is so stark in my mind. I had a first grade teacher, and her name was Mrs. Jones. And she should have been called Cruella DeVille. And she was so awful that her entire class was scared to death of her for an entire year. If you crossed her, she would put a dunce cap on you and put you in the dark at recess, lock you in the room. We could never get away with that now. But she was awful. And so through that blind side, I learned that in this life, we may run into people who are not kind. They do have ill will, and they may do destructive things. That was a blind side for me, because I want to look on the bright side of everything. Last night, Mary talked about her blind side. the car crash. Those are huge, where you're scared to death, you still hear those sounds, there's bodily harm, there's the financial stuff that comes. Those are blind sides. Those things in life that are so sad that you didn't ask for, like miscarriages, deaths. I have babies in heaven that I'm going to get to see, but it was a blind side at the time. A very sad, because you're all, life's going to change, we're going to have this baby, and then oops, all your hopes and dreams are dashed. What do you do with that? That's a blind side. Or when a parent's heart is hurt because their child chooses a destructive path. And there's not a doggone thing you can do about it. You can pray for them, but they have free will and choice too. But then you just hang in there and you pray and you watch God do his thing in the road rash. And you're like, holy cow, you did have a plan, God. Or maybe it's just a loved one in your family, a friend, and they're making self-destructive choices. Those are blindsides because you just feel so powerless. Then there's those financial disasters that come. Our economy has served a lot of that up lately. You're working your bottom off, and then a financial disaster hits, and you're like, I'm a hardworking person, and now I'm bankrupt. How does this happen? Blindsides. One that really gets me is Walt Disney lied to us. Love isn't what he led us to believe, is it? I'm wishing for the one I love. It's not that easy, is it? Or I'm just Twitter-pated in the spring. I'm telling you, it's more like what Pat Benatar said, love is a battlefield. Right? Love is hard work. It's the biggest investment of our lives. Whether it's a friend, a family member, a spouse, it's work. And the sad part of it is we see a lot of brokenness in relationships. And those are the blind sides, the broken hearts, the coping behaviors that come out of it. That's the road rash. My greatest challenge is death. I don't like it. I can't see my loved ones. I can't hear their voice. But I know that Jesus cries with us, and I know that he conquered death on the cross. I know that I will see my loved ones again, and I know that I don't have to explain to him that mourning in me. He just knows, and he comforts me like nobody can. I don't have to say my words. He's just there. I love that about him. He makes the blind side just a blank slip. He helps. Recently, and Tara's going to love this because she's sitting here and I'm going to talk about her. She just moved out. We had a big old hanging fight. No, I'm kidding. No, she just moved out and it was a joyous thing. She has great roommates. Raise your hand, roommate. Taylor. and it was a joyous moving day. You know, it was fun. It was really fun because I saw so many of God's blessings in it. Where she's at with the Lord, who her roommates are, where she's living, all those things. I couldn't help but be thankful. And then I got home. And I went, uh-oh, her bedroom's bothering me just a little bit. Uh-oh. Her room's at the end of the hall. So I was like, oh, Lord, there's so much good about this. Why am I being so silly? But sometimes your blind sides come from inside. They're internal blind sides. So I'm walking down the hallway with my vacuum. It was a really spiritual moment. And I'm talking to Jesus, going, Jesus, I don't know why I'm so sad, because this could not have been better. I don't want to be sad. I just want to be joyous. But the good thing about God is you're supposed to experience your blind sides. Because if you don't experience them, you don't grow and you don't lean on them. So it's one of those moments, right? I couldn't lean on the vacuum. I had to lean on Jesus. So I went into her room expecting to just be a puddle on the floor. And I'm vacuuming, and all of a sudden all these praise songs came to my mind, which is amazing because I'm menopausal, and so I don't remember a doggone thing, but I remembered all the words, and I was just singing and vacuuming and singing really loud, so I was louder than the vacuum. And then all of a sudden I just cried, and then all these songs came back, and I sang, and I finished vacuuming the room. It was absolutely joyous. And in that, the Lord just reminded me what I had prayed over and over again. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I was just like, oh God, you're so right. This is what it's really about. And then I walked out with my vacuum, and that was it. Isn't it beautiful? So he really, in his blindsides, he makes them blind slips because he goes with us right through them. And he's not unaware of the blind side. We tend to think like, what the heck, God? What were you thinking? But he's like, no, I got this. I purposely am allowing this. Trust me. And we can fully trust him. Because in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. You need to remember that. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. I like God's imagination. Sometimes you have to wait for it, but I love that guy's imagination. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We can trust him in these things because for him, it's just a different perspective, and he is working purposefully in the adversity in our lives in a way that we can't even conceive of. And sometimes we won't even see it. We just have to trust him. Other times we will see what he's doing. But if we love our Father and we know his character, then we know we can trust him. I would like you to join with me in thinking of those things that are a part of your life, those blind sides. And I want you to write some of them down because there may be some blind sides you haven't processed with Jesus yet. It's pretty important to do because if you don't, then you'll avoid or you'll stuff. And then how can you learn? How can you grow spiritually if you're doing that? So if you commit and you write it down on that piece of paper, then you can hand it to him. Okay, God, here. And then he is definitely with you in it. Because sometimes we're like, talk to the hand. I got this. Now I'm going to get a little stronger. I got this. I got it. What is that? We need to make sure that this is his and not ours. I'm saying that I don't understand blindsides. I'm not going to say that I understand them, because I don't. But I trust my Heavenly Father. To me, a blindside is this. It's a mystery spot. It's always a mystery spot to me. Now we can go, okay, what am I learning? Look for it. Sometimes he doesn't tell us. Sometimes it's just about waiting. Just about trusting. Okay, God, I don't know, but you do. Okay, God, I still don't know, but you do. It's a mystery spot. And this mystery spot in Santa Cruz, the scientists don't have a definite explanation of why balls roll up and trees split and curl when they grow there. There's no definite explanation, and sometimes our blindsides are like that. And God's not going to go, okay, believe in me once you see what I did. Nope. He's saying, believe in me even if you don't see. That's true faith. The unseen. So remember, the mystery spot is God screaming, trust me. You can depend on me. It's worth it. Actually, we grow more through the mystery spots most of the time. Okay, so Jesus really wanted me to tell you something, and it's really important. I want you to turn to John 7:37. We tend to think that walking with Jesus is about satisfying our souls, and it is. But it's so much, more than that. God has this big plan for us. It's bigger than we can think of. In this scripture it says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. That's us, the believers. If we profess Christ as our Lord and our Savior, he that believes in me, that's our part, will have living water which flows from within them. And that is the Holy Spirit. And that river of living water is what will make the unexpected joys and the unexpected mundaneness and the unexpected blindsides doable, more than doable. They'll make them glorious. Because if you look at a river, you watch it flowing after a good rain, it has purpose. It is consistent. And if you watch it over time, it actually changes the landscape around it. It moves sand and dirt and trees and obstacles. Well, that's what the living water in us does. It moves the obstacles, the fears, the resentments, those things we hang on to in our hearts and minds. That living water, if we're letting that flow through us, and we're accessing Christ, will move those obstacles. And in moving those obstacles, then he will pour forth through us. And we will then be his heart and hands to so many others. Each one of us. God wants to touch hundreds of people through us. Let the river flow. This is a personal message to you guys. Today, I've experienced it. People loving on me. Showing God's character, his patience, his kindness. It's a beautiful thing within the body and to the lost who don't know Jesus yet. For God to do that is amazing to me because we are obviously flawed. We are obviously broken, limping along, dysfunctional messes. And God has this amazing plan. It is so beautiful. I am absolutely in awe that he would want to do that through us. What a good God we have. And he wants us to focus on that flowing river and on the source of that, which is himself and his love. He tenaciously loves us. Because in all that, he's going to refresh us continually. So we can be in 300 blind sides at the same time and still be refreshed. It doesn't mean we're not going to cry. It doesn't mean we're not going to have our moments, but we will still have the continual refreshings coming if we will receive it. Sometimes we just put a dam up, I think. We've got to let him do what he wants to do. Now I want to talk about someone who is a spiritual mentor to me. She just shows a way of really fully accepting the unexpected in her life. She was alive from March 1820 to February 1915, and her name was Fanny Crosby. She was blind from the time of being a little baby. She was a prolific hymnist and songwriter. She had 8,000 hymns published and over 100 million copies printed. She also was a preacher. She taught and she worked in a rescue mission. By the end of the 19th century, she was known as the Queen of Gospel Songwriting. Some of the songs that she wrote were Blessed Assurance and Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, praise him, and to God be the glory. Some of those you might know. They're very, very just heartfelt, well-known hymns. And I want to read how she explains her experience of becoming blind and what God did in that. I was a little baby, 6 weeks old, in April 1820. My eyes became sore and red. A stranger who claimed to be a doctor put hot cloths on my eyes, and although the infection went away, white scars formed over my eyes. Afterward, I couldn't see. Poor mother. 1820 turned out to be a terrible year for her. Not only were my eyes blinded, but my father died that year after getting sick from working in a field in the pouring rain. This is what she said about the doctor who accidentally caused her blindness. I have heard that this physician never ceased expressing his regret at the occurrence, that it was one of the sorrows of his life. But if I could meet him now, I would say thank you, over and over for making me blind. Although it may have been a blunder on the physician's part, it was no mistake on God's part. I verily believe it was his intention that I should live my days in physical darkness so as to be better prepared to sing his praises and incite others to do so. What do you say to that? She also says, God will answer your prayers better than you think. Of course, one will not always get exactly what he has asked for. We all have sorrows and disappointments, but one must never forget that if commended to God, they will issue in good. His own solution is far better than any we could conceive. Isn't that beautiful? So a woman who hopes in God accepts unexplainable events as no mistake on God's part, knowing that every event involves his good intention. God has good intentions to us even when it looks awful, like road rash. So this is what we need to do. He has these good intentions. We see that. He wants to grow us spiritually. He wants to make us more like him in his image. He wants to bring good out of all things for those who love him and are called to his purpose. We can trust him in that. That is the intent of his heart. It is good to each one of you. It is good toward me. What is your intention? We need to address that, girls. Am I willing to trust him in this? But maybe not in this, because I have certain ideas about what I want going on right here, right now. What are our intentions? There is a ride, and it's at Six Flags. Yeah. And it goes way up and way down really fast, and it twists and turns, and you're going upside down. It has all these loop-de-loops. It's my favorite ride there. I love that thing. It scares the crud out of me. And I was getting on that ride, and my daughter and her friends were in the seats behind me, so I had to sit up in the front seat, because, Mom, you have to go, but you get to sit by yourself. So I sat up in those front seats, and these teen boys sat by me. And he looks over at me, the one closest to me, and goes, "Oh, man, lady, I'm just going to scream and cuss. Sorry." And I go, "That's okay, because I just laugh my head off and pray." And so we did. We kind of canceled each other out on the entire ride. But I kind of think life is like that ride, you know, because you get on that ride and you trust that the machinery is not going to go wrong. And you've seen a million people go through the line, get on the ride, make it through safely, get off the ride, and they're still living. They were not launched into space. So you get in the line, you get on the ride, and you just hang on for dear life, right? The whole time. Well, that's kind of life for us with Jesus. We need to just strap in. It's not like we can jump off. Yeah. That'd be worse. And we try and do that. I don't want to do this, God. That's the worst thing we can do. We want to stay smack dab in his will. So we need to just strap in and trust him. Just hang on. And whatever it takes, girls. I don't expect you to be there at a little prim church, ladies. If you need to cry, if you need to scream, if you need to yell at God, he can take it. And if you need to go, "I can't do this," he's going to say, "I can." He's got you. He has got your back. He's not going to put you in anything that he hasn't prepared you for, or is going to fill you up for, or is going to grow you out of. And that's the whole point. So don't try and unstrap yourself and leap off the ride. You stay strapped in and you trust him and you hang on. You hang on because he's got you. Let's pray. Father God, you are amazing, and I pray with all my heart that every woman in here trusts you, God, with every part of her heart, every part of her life. Teach us, Lord. You are so trustworthy. We want to know more and more and more of you. Grow our relationship with you, God. Grow us. Remind us that we are daughters of the King and that you have good intentions to us, that you love us so much that you allowed your Son to die for us. Teach us, God, how to love you back by trusting you. We just praise you and thank you for your word that guides us, for your Holy Spirit that counsels us, and for your Son who would die for us. Thank you, Abba Father. In Christ's name, amen.